Well, I'll tell you, I have a little bit of a problem tonight, and you have to hear the whole story before you don't look shocked when I say this. I have a problem tonight, and the problem is my wife. I said wait until I tell the whole story. I've already heard groans over there. What happened is, Becky and I, typically we have our devotions in the morning like most of you do, and this year we've done something a little different. We, instead of reading the scripture or reading through a devotional, we've been listening to the scripture. Some of you know you can listen to scripture with somebody like Alexander Scorby. That's who we're listening to. And it's kind of a different thing for us. It's you're listening, and one thing it enables us to do is every now and then we hit pause and we talk about what we just listened to, which has really made it a lot more interesting than just me reading, because she can't pause me when I'm reading. There's no button for me. And so we were reading, I think, if you can put that first slide up. We were reading the other day, and we were reading in Matthew, in Matthew's gospel. It's been a couple weeks back. If you're on a Bible reading program, you probably even know you've read through that too. We're reading through Matthew, and we're reading the story of what I would call the generous generous landowner. And we got to the end of that story, and then there's a verse at the end, and Becky just stopped, and she gave me that look, you know, like, and I, what? And she goes, why is that verse there? And I go, well, what verse? And she referenced the verse, and she said, I don't see how that has anything to do with the story. Now, here's my problem. Becky thinks I know everything that they're supposed to know about the Bible, and I'm supposed to explain these things off the cuff. I'm supposed to know why that verse is there and what it means. And I just went, I'm not sure how that fits the story. And she goes, well, haven't you ever studied that before? I mean, she just kept digging. Haven't you ever studied that before? Well, not in relation to just that verse, no. And so if you don't like the message when I'm finished tonight, blame Becky. It's her fault. We're in Matthew chapter 20. Let me read you the story, and then I'll tell you the verse. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, if you have your Bibles open, you can follow along with me. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. Most everybody, if you're a Christian, you've been saved for any time, especially if you started reading the New Testament, you've read the story before, but I'll read it to you again. Verse 2, and when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, just so you have a frame of reference, a penny a day represented what we would call a day's wage, enough to survive for that day, to buy food for your family and whatever's necessary for that day. So he paid him a day's wage for a day's work, right? So that's what happens in verse 2. Verse 3, so he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And verse 4, and he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5, and again he went out about the ninth hour, and he did likewise. So at the sixth hour, at the ninth hour, he did the same thing. Verse 6, and at the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand you here all the day idle? And they said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Now think about what he's saying here. So the typical day would start at 6 and would end at 6, a 12-hour work day, just like Americans have today. I guess we kind of got away from that concept, haven't we? We don't even have a five-day work week a lot of times, but a 12-hour work day. So he went out at 6 o'clock. He hired this guy. He said, if you work from 6 o'clock till 6 o'clock tonight, I will give you a day's wage. And then he went out again the third hour, which would have been, what time would that be? 9 o'clock. It's not that hard, people. You're thinking too hard. So he goes out and at the third hour, and he hires another guy, pays him a day's wage, and so on and so forth. He said, I'll give you what's right. And so that's the story, right? Now keep reading. You'll see what happens at the end of the story. So in verse 8, so when the even was come at 6 o'clock that night, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from, I never noticed this before. Becky pointed this out to me. She said, how come he started with the last guy and gave and paid him first and then paid the first guy? And I believe there's a reason for that. I'll tell you what that is in a little while later. So he starts from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now, they weren't told what they were going to be paid when they were hired. They just said, the landowner said, I'll give you what's fair. And so you can imagine how that made the guy feel. He worked 1 hour and got a day's wage. Pretty good stuff, right? And so, but that caused a little bit of a problem. Look at verse 10. But when the, I'm sorry, verse 9, and when they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. We worked 12 hours, you gave us a penny. That guy worked 1 hour, and he got the same wage. How is that fair? Verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that, this is thine, and go thy way, and I will give this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is an eye evil because I am good? And you almost think that the parable should end there, but if you'll notice, it doesn't end there. In fact, the next parable doesn't start till verse 17, and then he throws in verse 16. And this is the question that Becky had. So what does that have to do with the parable? Verse 16 says, so the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. What? What does that have to do with the parable? I mean, you may understand the parable, at least you may think you understand the parable, and you may understand what's going on. It's a very easy parable to understand, right? It's just a very simple thing. Now, here's something I noticed when I was doing a study on this. Right before this happened, some of you may remember this, Peter had asked Jesus a question. Go back to chapter 19. And the verse, this same verse is in chapter 19, and it seems appropriate in chapter 19. Look at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said to Christ, behold, we have forsaken all, and we have followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, which the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Those who haven't suffered, those who haven't struggled, those who haven't given up all for me, they're going to find themselves in last place. But you that have, you'll find yourself in first place. And that makes perfect sense with what he just said, doesn't it? I mean, to me, I read that. No, Becky did not, when we were reading chapter 19, she did not ask me about that verse, which she should have, because that would have been easier to explain. But she didn't ask me about that. Now, if you think about it, when you go further on in chapter 20, you go to the next the last part of chapter 20, it would seem appropriate that this verse is in that part of the chapter 2. Look at the last part of chapter 20. Go to verse 20. Verse 20 talks about the sons of Zebedee. They came and talked to Jesus. And verse 21, they said to him, what wilt thou? Jesus said to them, to her, the mother, what wilt thou? And she said to him, grant that these my sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on thy left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. By the way, they were not. They just thought they were. But anyway, verse 23, and he said to them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with my baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, for it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they got mad. Well, who do you guys think you are asking to be sitting on the front, right, and left hand of Christ, right, left hand of God? And Jesus called them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great, the great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And by the way, it's not here, but you could put that verse right there, couldn't you? And would it fit right here also? The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If it had been right there, it flows perfect in the passage. It makes perfect sense. I could easily explain that, but that's not the problem. The problem is, it's in the other story. And I kept thinking the other day, how in the world, it took me a couple days looking at this to go, okay, how do I explain how that applies to the story? Now, one way I'm going to do that, here's what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to try to illustrate this parable as best I can. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I have in my pocket some money. I really do. I went out and got some money just for this. What I have here is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have an extra one. I'll have to remember that later. But I have 6 $1 bills. Now, I want these $1 bills since I'm thinking that probably in today's society, for a family to survive, It's probably for food and clothing, whatever you need for a day. I'm going to just round it off to $100. $100 a day, right? And the one, by the way, is going to represent the 100. I didn't go get six $100 bills for this illustration. But so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hire some guys to work in my field. So what I need a guy that would be willing to work 12 hours in my field. Dewey, you're the guy. Would you work 12 hours for me? You wouldn't mind? Come on up here. And Dewey, here's the deal. If you work 12 hours for me, I'm going to give you $100. Sounds good. So I have a vineyard back here. This is my vineyard. Would you go back there? I need the grapes, the vines trimmed. Some of the grapes are going to have to pick. Just go back there and start working, and we'll see you in about 12 hours. Okay, just right in here in the field. Now, if you do the math, that means that if I paid him $100 and he works 12 hours, I think I did the math right. That means he's making about $8.33. Is he working? Because I'm paying. Come on. Okay, keep working. All right, so you guys keep an eye on him. But I'm paying money here. Trim some vines. Pick some grapes. Do whatever. Yeah, there's some vines back there. Okay. Don't eat any grapes. I'll take that out of your salary. So I'm paying him $100 to do $8 an hour. I know that's not quite as good today. I'm sure the Democrats would have a problem with that. So now I need another guy. I need another guy that would work in my field. I need another volunteer. I don't want to pick on somebody. I need a volunteer. Come on. Come on. Jade, right? Jade, come on up here. Jade, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go work in my field, and I'll pay you what's right. Okay? I'll take care of you. You can trust me, Jade. I'll take good care of you. So you go work in the field. So Jade goes up, and he starts working the field. I hope he's a better worker than Dewey. You're doing it? You're getting it good? Okay. All right. So I got two guys working the field. I need a... Now, 6 hours go by, and I'm thinking, you know, those two guys are not really that great of workers. I'm needing some more workers. So I need another worker. Anybody, can I get another worker? Now, by the way, this Jade got $11 an hour, if you do the math. I need somebody that's willing to take $16.66 an hour. I know it's just going to be minimum wage for long. But I need somebody. Anybody? I need a volunteer. Come on. It's not going to take long. People. Okay, come on, Mr. Flowers. It's Jimmy, right? Okay, come on, Jimmy. You're not impressing me with that speed, brother. Okay, so Jimmy's going to come up here, and Jimmy, you work in my field for 6 hours, and I'll pay you what's fair.
Can I have a contract?
No, I'll pay you what's fair. Okay, so you guys keep an eye on those people. There's only one vine back there they're working on. That vine's going to get well worked over. So now a few more hours go by, and I'm going to need a fourth worker. Can I get another worker? There we go. You need to, and I have forgotten your name.
Mike.
Mike, sorry, Mike. And so, Mike, I'll tell you what. If you'll go work in my field, I'll pay you what's right.
All right.
Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
All right. You go back there. Keep an eye on those other guys, would you? Okay, because I don't know what's going on back there behind me. All right. I need at least one more guy. Now, by the way, I'm going to pay Mike $33 an hour. $33.33 if it ends up right. Okay. And I need one more guy. I just need another 1 hour. Can I get a guy that'll work for an hour? Okay, great. Brother Krupp is going to come, and he's going to give me an hour worth of labor. He's the smart one. Waited till last. If you'll go in my field and work, here's what I'm going to do. I will pay you what's fair.
Sounds good.
All right, great. So now if I've got this right, let's go to slide number 2 real quick. If I've got this right, here's what happens. I hired the guy first hour. He's going to work 12 hours. I'm going to pay him $8.33 an hour. So at the end of the day, how much am I going to owe him? Don't look at them. Look at the screen. How much am I going to owe him? It's not math, guys. It's on the wall. Okay. So that's what Dewey's going to get. Okay. So now the second guy, next slide. So I hired, who else did I hire? I hired Jade next. And Jade, he's going to work 9 hours. He's going to get $11.11 an hour. And he's going to be working at the end of the day. How much is he going to get? $100. Maybe it wasn't a good idea to have these guys behind me. But now the third guy, who would I hire third? Was that Mike?
Yep.
Mike, I hired Mike third. Mike's going to work 6 hours. He's going to get $16.66 an hour. And at the end of the day, how much is he going to get? $100. Okay. And who did I hire after Mike? I hired Jimmy. And so now, next slide. So Jimmy is only going to work 3 hours. So he's going to end up getting about $33.33 for 2 hours and $33.34 for 1 hour for you math people out there. I'm going to give him a penny bonus, which kind of fits with the program. Never mind. So, and then finally, I hired, who'd I hire less? Mike. No, Rob. So Rob, he's working 1 hour, and at the end of the day, guess what he's going to get? Okay, now we're at the end of the day. Okay, guys, if you come, hey, it's 6 o'clock, you quit. Great job. Come on up here. Come on up here, please. Yeah, I know you're wore out. I know especially Dewey's got to be killing himself, that 12 hours of labor. So if you guys would line up for me, Dewey, you were first, you be here, second, third, fourth, and fifth, okay? So you'll be next to last. There we go. Everybody knows where your place is? Yeah, okay. And Rob, you're going to be here, and Mike, you're going to be there. Now, here's what I think is interesting in this passage. I don't know if you noticed this, but when they were paid, the last was paid first. That's what gave me a clue. The last. Now, Dewey, how much did I say I was going to pay you?
$100.
$100. And how much did I say I was going to pay you?
$100.
No, I did not. What did I tell him I would pay him?
What was fair.
What was fair. What was right. How much did I was going to pay you?
Same thing.
What was right?
Same.
What was right?
What was right?
What was right? What was right? So I'm going to give these guys what's right. So they've worked. And now, I want you to think about this guy down here. He's worked 12 hours. This guy has worked 1 hour. Here's your
$100. Thank you, sir.
He's getting angry.
Here's your $100.
He's getting mad.
Here's, thank you for your work. Here's your $100.
You,
here's your $100. And here's your $100. I'm going to keep this for myself. Thank you for working so much. By the way, isn't that kind of what happened in the story? It's exactly what happened. You guys can be seated. You can keep your dollar. Put it in the offering plate or something. There we go. He didn't even feel, you felt like you didn't, you got more than you deserved, didn't you?
I was going to work for free.
You were going to work for free. All right, so now think about the story. Think about the story. I'm going to see if I can explain this to you. So what happened? What happened at the end of the day? Well, next slide. You'll see it up here. It's real simple. So the master came. He said, give them their hire. He began from the last to the first, and every man received a penny. Now, I don't know if you Dewey was kidding around, but that's probably what was going on in that guy's mind. If he's out here, he's working 12 hours, he's slaving away, he's going, this other guy comes out. And by the way, don't ever do this at work. It's not a good thing to do at work. Don't say to the person you work with, how much do you make? How many of you know that is a bad idea? Okay. Well, I don't know if these guys said that to each other, but by now they know that, right? They know now because they saw me doling out the cash. And they're all, I'm sure that this guy over here is going. You say, you're guessing. No, I'm not, because the next slide tells us exactly what happened. So what was the result? Well, what did they say? And by the way, it's not just this guy. Here's what we think. Here's what a lot of people, when you read the passage, they think this guy is the one doing the talking. Well, read the scripture again. Go to verse 10 real fast. Look what it says here. It says, verse 10. But when the first came, not the first person, the first group. You say, why do you say that? Well, what's the next word? They, not him, they suppose that they should have received more, and they, like right, receive every, they all got the same amount, but everybody's looking at who? Everybody's looking at that last guy saying, that's not right. Now, let's be honest with each other. I want you to give me an honest answer tonight. How many of you, when you first read that parable, thought, that doesn't seem fair? How many would say, okay. Now, you're going to wish later you had not raised your hand. Because there's a truth here that when I read it and found it out, I was like, ooh. And we'll get to that in a minute. But that's exactly what happened. So, as they see this man paid, I know what I'm thinking. If he gave that guy $100 and he worked an hour and he's a generous landowner, what am I thinking at number one? Man, this is going to be good, right? Now, so I'm pretty sure that's what happened. They were thinking this all the way through. They're trying to figure out what's going to go on, what's going to happen next. And that I'm pretty sure that was the response. But what was the good man's answer? Well, look at verse 13. Verse 13, he said, when they said that to him, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it and make it real short. But can I say it this way? They said to him, that's not fair. Would you agree with me? That's a simple enough paraphrase. That's not fair, or that's not right. And by the way, I want to use the word right because why? Because what did the landowner say? I will do what's right. So what are they saying? You lied to us. You didn't do what was right. Now, one of them couldn't really say that, although he may have been the gang leader. Number one really couldn't say that because did he get what was right? He shook his hand. He said, I'll work for a penny. You give me a penny or Dewey for $100. Dewey's a little more expensive than a penny. And he could not say that. But the other guys are thinking, but you said you'd give us what's right. I'm almost thinking that number five looked at number four and thought, well, if it's right for him to get $100, and he worked 1 hour, and I worked 3 hours, it's right for me to get, you guys are not really good in math, are you? Yeah, it's right for me to get 300. And so number three is thinking, if it's right for him to get 100, and I've worked 6 hours, it's right for me to get, okay? And that's how we reason, right? We're an American society, and that's how we think. This is what's fair, and this is what's equitable, okay? And so the landowner says this in verse 13. He says, but he answered one of them, and he said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Now, that's why I think, by the way, if you read the passage slowly, I think that's number one who's doing the talking. He's talking for all of them, but he's the only one that got the bargain, right? He's the only one that shook the hand on a penny for a day kind of concept. So I think it's him, and I'm not surprised that it is him. He worked 12 hours in the toiling sun, and you saw how hard Dewey was cutting that bush back there. It'll never look the same. Yeah, it looks beautiful, Dewey. You did it. Tremendous job. And so he's thinking, I've worked and I've done all this, so you get the idea. But he says to him again, he answered, do I do thee wrong? Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Verse 14, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. In other words, you don't get to decide what I pay people. I get to decide what I pay people. Oh man, if we could go back to that in a government concept, right? I get to decide what I pay the people I hire. You know you can't do that. How many of you know you cannot do that in American society? Yeah, you have to pay at least what the government says you have to pay, even if they're not worth that. And I know all of you think you should get more than you do. But I think it won't be long before, if that minimum wage gets up to $15 an hour, I think it won't be long before inflation also gets up a little bit. And $15 an hour is going to be $8 an hour or $10 an hour. You understand how this works, right? Some of you are like me. I started working when I was 14 years old. I worked in a tobacco field. I can get away with that because I wasn't saved till 16. So, but I worked in the tobacco field, and I got a call after I worked in the tobacco field at a grocery store, the Piggly Wiggly grocery store in Florence, South Carolina. And I had applied there. You say, they hired guys at 14? Yes, we were called baggers. And some of you remember baggers, right? And we didn't get paid. I don't know if you knew that, but back then, we didn't get paid. You said, well, how'd you make money? Well, I would bag your groceries. I'd put them on a cart. I'd take them in your car. I'd put them in your car, and you'd give me a dime. Or really wealthy people would give me a quarter. I mean, like a quarter. The big coin. And that was awesome. Every now and then, very rarely, somebody would give me a dollar. And whatever, that's how I got paid. And then I started doing a little stock work, so I got a little bit of money and tips. And that was... I was wealthy. There was a time, I'm going to brag, but when I was 15 years old, I bought home $50 one time in a week. Yeah, yeah. I was pretty high up on the hog at that point. Some of you know what I'm talking about, because if you can remember back that far, that would have been in the early, anyway, it's been a long time ago, early 70s. We think that we're worth what we should get. Now, look what he goes on to say, what the landowner goes on to say. He says, take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. In verse 15, he asked him a question. He said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye good? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Are you angry because I gave you what I said I would give you and I was generous to the other guy? So here's the question. I don't know if I've answered the question yet, have I? How does verse 16 fit into this? That's where I found the rub. I understood it. I think the parable is fairly simple. You understand it. And I think the problem is a lot of us make a mistake about interpreting this parable. We try to interpret it not what it's really about. Here's what I think a lot of... How many of you ever heard this parable interpreted this way? That parable is about a fair wage for a fair day's work. It's about labor relations. It's about what you agree to, you shake on, you do it. Well, I think you could somewhat make that application, but that is not what the parable is about. That is not at all what the parable is about. In fact, if you notice, there's a passage in front of that in chapter 19 where Peter asks about what he's going to get, right? And there's a passage after that where the sons of Zebedee, or their mother for them, boy, that's kind of low, isn't it? Mom went to bat for them. Their mother asked something special for them, what they're going to get. That passage fits with both of them. And I happen to believe in the context of the scripture that that's not inserted in the middle and taken away. I believe it also fits in the concept text. Would you agree with me there? So there's got to be connected to these other passages. So it's not a passage about a fair day's wage for a fair day's work. In fact, I don't think it has anything to do with the laborers at all. I think this passage has nothing to do with those guys. It's not about them. It's about the generous landowner. I don't know why I keep saying loan officer. Landowner and what the kingdom of heaven is like. You say, how do you get that? Go back to verse 1. Tell me what it's about. Because Jesus didn't say, for labor relations are like this. Right? He didn't say, for farming is like this. What is he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven and how you get into the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like, so it's not about the laborers, it's about the landowner and his kingdom. Now, if you interpret it in light of what it's supposed to be interpreted, it's going to start making sense. I think you're going to find out what I'm saying here in just a second. So remember, Peter thought he'd be rewarded on a basis of merit, and so did these laborers. Would you agree that coincides? Peter said, we've left all this, and we've left our mothers and our brothers, and we've put down our nets, and we've followed you, and we've forsaken all for you. And I'll paraphrase Peter, what do we get for that? And Jesus was kind of like, Peter, it's not what you get here that's important. What you've given up is nothing compared to what you've gained. Boy, if we could just learn that, that'd be enough for tonight's message, wouldn't it? This temporal world, is not important. I know it's easy to focus on. I focus better on things I can touch and feel than things that I can't see. Which means this, let me say it another way. I'll say it a more spiritual way. It's easier to live by sight than it is by faith. Amen? I'm not the only one. You can say amen. I know I'm not the only one that thinks that way. It is easy for me to get focused on my house and my car and my job and whatever else I want in life. It's easy for me to get focused on the pleasures of this world. It's easy for me to get and to ignore heaven and to ignore eternity and what I'm looking forward to and a life free of sin and free of sickness and free of sadness and free of sorrow. I can't even think of that sometimes. I don't know about you. I think about heaven. That's another question my kids used to ask me about heavens all the time. I can't explain everything about it. I don't have a clue what it's like to live without flesh. My flesh plagues me every day of my life. And my poor brain goes off in a weird track sometimes. I'm like, what am I thinking about that for, right? Again, I'm not the only one. So that's hard for me to understand. And Peter's thinking on the temporal plane, and Christ is saying, no, Peter, no. No, it's not about what you've lost, Peter. It's about what you've gained. And that makes sense. So here's what I think. I was reading, this happened a couple months ago. I was reading a book about this parable, and the guy said something that really hurt me. You remember you guys who raised your hand and said, yeah, if I was that guy, I would feel like that's unfair too. Can I tell you why you feel that way? Because you think you're the 12-hour worker. We always put ourselves as... Do you ever picture yourself as this guy? Number one, you think he was upset? You think he walked away going, can't believe that. That's not what happened. But we always think we've done all the work, we've done all the labor, I've gone to church all my life, I read my Bible, I've blah, 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 and God hasn't given me this, and God hasn't blessed me with this, and I don't understand, right? And why you think it's unfair is because we automatically go to that position when we really should be thinking in this position. You getting me? Let me read you something I wrote. We think it's unfair because we typically think of ourselves as 12-hour workers, but we're not. None of us deserves to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's all of God's grace. We do not deserve heaven, and we don't deserve his grace. What God gives us is not pay for our effort. It is a gift of his love. God's grace does not operate on a basis of reward for work. Just show me the next slide real quick. Now, let me look at it. I want you to look at it a different way. This is the same parable. This is in light of the scripture and what it's interpreted as. One more slide. There you go. That's the way we interpret the first time. Here's the way you interpret the second time. At the beginning of the day, how many of these guys had a job? How many of them? Zero. None of them had a job, okay? I like the fact that he went out the third, or I think it was the ninth hour, and he found more. I like the fact that he found them, they didn't find him, right? But anyway, they had no job, but they all got hired. They all got paid a penny. Here's the question. At the end of the day, how many of them had their needs met? Every single one of them. But that's not how we look at it. We do exactly what we shouldn't do. We compare ourselves among ourselves, and we look at somebody else and we say, that's not fair that they get a blessing and they seem to things to be going their way, and they just got saved and they just joined the church and they're not even good Christians yet. And I've been coming to church for 25 years and I taught Sunday school 20 of those 25 years and I took care of the people in the nursery. You know how hard that was? And look how bad my life is. And I don't, what are we doing? We're focusing again on the temporal, forgetting that it's all of God's grace and it's all of his mercy. And God has already met every need you ever have has already been met. You say, no, I have many more needs. No, you don't. You have some temporal needs. And if they don't get met, you'll die. And then what? You live eternity in heaven. You poor soul. I was telling somebody in counseling the other day, and they were kind of complaining about their situation, and they were kind of complaining about what's going on. And I said this to them. I said, you know, if God had saved you 25 years ago, and your life was totally miserable from here on out, your physical health was destroyed, everything about your life was a misery. You barely could pay your bills. You barely had food to eat. You would still be better off than anybody on the planet that had $1 million. Now, is that not true or is that true? That is true, is it not? What's the problem? We don't think like that. We don't recognize that. We've gotten away from that. Let me ask you a question. In that parable, which one of those guys was the least satisfied with what he got? I'm guessing, but I'm pretty sure I've got the right guy. Who was the least satisfied? Well, it was number one, right? Dewey. Sorry, Dewey. But have you thought about this? Who was the most satisfied? You're beginning to get to verse 16 yet? Anybody beginning to get verse 16 yet? The first is now what? And the last is now what? But that's still not explaining the parable to me. You know why? Because even though that's true, they all got their needs met and they all went home with the penny and they were all able to take care of their family. So that still doesn't explain that first versus last thing quite completely enough for me. And the more I thought about it, the more I just scratched my head and I'm like, something doesn't seem right. By the way, number one was dissatisfied. He was grumbling. He wasn't grumbling because he was treated wrong. We know that. He was treated right. He was grumbling because he felt that those who were less deserving than him were treated better. When truly they weren't treated better, they were treated the same. Right? They were treated exactly the same. I guarantee you this, number four or number five did not think he was treated unfairly. I mean, I'm sure he was extremely happy about what happened. I want you to listen to what I'm about to say here. They were all hired for the same reason. They all needed a day's wages. They all needed the grace of the generous landowner. He hired them not because of his need, but because of their need. God didn't save us because we're worthy, but because we're needy. Because, well, we're sinners. And without his grace, there's no way. Why do you think you're worthy of anything God has ever given you? You're not. It's only by the grace of God. I'm not working my way to heaven, and you're not working your way to heaven, and there's nothing I can do to add to it or take away from it. Only reason I serve God today is out of a thankful heart to please the one who's already done it for me. Not so that he will do it for me. He owes me nothing. If I die today, if I don't finish this sermon and I fall down dead here and I leave my wife and my children, my grandchildren without a father and a grandfather and a husband, they should still be happy because they know where I'm at. You see, we don't look at things right. Now, I want you to think about this. I'm going to read another thing I wrote because I want to make sure I say it the way I want to say it. I want you to think about those laborers, okay? I want you to think about those five guys there. It's end of the day, 6 o'clock in the evening, and they're winding their way back home, right? As to the amount of money in their pockets, they're equal. Amen? Amount of money in their pockets, they're equal. But as to the amount of contentment in their hearts, there's a great deal of difference, wouldn't you say? The last goes home with a day's wage in his pocket and astonished gratitude in his heart. Now, I'll say it this way. I think he goes home with a penny and much, much more. Amen? He's got just a penny, but think about what else he had. He sees the grace and the generosity of that landowner, and he is extremely thankful. He has the same thing as that guy, but he has a penny, and I think he has more. The first goes home with a day's wages in his pocket and a discontentment in his heart. He could only rejoice in the generosity of God's grace as long as it was directed towards him. His reward was a penny and much, much less. In that sense, the first was last, and the last was first. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you to do this. I know we're not still in a revival meeting, but I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, because I want you to think about what I'm about to say. Just bow your head, close your eyes, okay? And just listen to the sound of my voice, because I want you to think about what I'm about to tell you. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Let me ask you this. Are you angry and bitter at the way you feel God has treated you? Is it because of the trials you face, or the health that you have? Are you discouraged because you have had to bear the burden of the heat of the day? Does it bother you that God is better to others than it seems like he's better than he's to you, especially those you deem as less worthy? Can I tell you something? If that's your attitude, there's no thankfulness, there's no contentment, there's no joy. And you're just like that first guy. You got it all. You've got a home in heaven waiting for you. You've got a Savior that loves you. You've got the blessed Word of God. And folks, you've really got more. I've been in a lot of third world countries on mission trips and in places where they sit on wooden benches and they walk on dirt floors and they meet outside. And they don't have a nice building like this, and they don't have, everybody doesn't have his own Bible, and everybody doesn't have a home and a car and all. We have so much more, and we are so ungrateful. Shame on us. We're just like that first guy saying, yeah, but look what I don't have. I didn't get what I deserved. I don't know how many times I've said this in my life, but brother, you don't want what you deserve. You don't want it and I don't want it. Or are you grateful for the grace of God in your life? Are you joyful because you were counted worthy to suffer for well-doing? Are you truly thankful for Christ meeting your greatest need? I asked the auditorium one time when I was preaching a while back, I want you to think about what is your greatest need. What was the greatest need, the greatest problem you ever had? And people thought of all kinds of things. The greatest problem I ever had was when I lost my job. The greatest problem I ever had was when my child was born with a birth defect. The greatest problem I ever had was when I was diagnosed for cancer. No, the greatest problem you ever had was you were a lost sinner on your way to hell, and God took care of that. Do you not think that God will take care of you now that he is, and that you are his child? Are you not thankful? Are you not joyful? Are you not like that last worker? You know, honestly, I think there should have been, I almost think, I'm not correcting the scripture, but I think it'd be better, almost better as an illustration if there was a third guy that didn't work any and he got $100, because that's really who we are. We don't deserve any of it. We haven't done anything to get our way there. And the only reason we're not happy, we're not excited, is because we thought we deserved more. It's a sad story. We all look at ourselves as 12-hour workers, when honestly, it's just by the grace and mercy of that generous landowner. Aren't you thankful that it was Him who got you to the kingdom of heaven and you didn't have to work your way there? There would be joy and contentment in your heart tonight when you think that over. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'll continue to work in our hearts and lives. Help us to see that everything we have is by Your grace and through Your mercy. Lord, we are such a blessed people. I mean, honestly, Lord, we have more than we could ever pay for. The blessings that You've given us, even the material blessings, are overwhelming in our country. But the spiritual blessings that You've given us, the Word of God in print, in our hand, the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word of God, to bless us, to comfort us, to come alongside us. And Lord, we're such unthankful people. We look around and compare ourselves among ourselves. We don't compare ourselves to Christ. We think on a temporal plane. We don't think on an eternal plane. God, help us to get that right. Help us to be thankful and joyful Christians and to show the world that there is a landowner out there that is more than generous. And if you have a need, He can meet it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.